Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Anmar Mirza is on a phone line. Anmar is the national coordinator of the National Cave Rescue Commission. Anmar, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Just fine.
Where are you right now?
I'm actually in Bedford, Indiana.
You're doing some spelunking, some caving there, are you?
I just got done with a trip this morning, and as soon as I get done with you guys, I'm going on another trip this afternoon.
How hopeful or hopeless do you think the plight is of these kids in Thailand?
Well, I think there's a really good chance that they can all be gotten out safely. It's certainly not a guaranteed chance, and I think there's also a good chance that it may not be completely successful. So we always hope for the best. We try to do the best we can to do that positive outcome, but there is no guarantee here. If they can allow the water to get pumped down enough, if the weather holds so that they don't have enough rain to fill the cave back up again, the pumping that they've been doing has been being successful, then if they can get it done enough, then they can walk the boys out, which is the safest option. But if the rain comes in enough that it fills the cave up to the point where they were before is no longer safe, they may have to use the diving option. In that case, it's a much riskier proposition.
So then you're lowering, you're putting on scuba gear, a mask and a breathing device, and you got a little headlamp on, huh? And you're just swimming and crawling through these crevasses and caves in underwater, right?
Sure. Well, it's actually, don't need a headlamp in there because the visibility is basically zero.
It's not dark down there?
Well, the cave is dark, but the water itself is so muddy and murky that having light doesn't really get you anything. So they actually navigate through the cave using a fixed dive line that the divers hold on to that have directional indicators as they go through, to let them know that they're going in the correct direction. And it's a very complex and very complicated process. And right now they've been training the kids. And even if they don't need to use the diving option, the very fact that they're training the kids gives the kids something to do, something that's concrete to potentially help them assure their own survival, which is very important for their morale.
Well, I don't know if that's encouraging or discouraging what you just said, but either way, they would be doing it blind. They would be doing it in black darkness, right? Have you ever been in a situation like this? I mean, you're in the United States. You've told me you've been in cave systems like this, but not this one in Thailand per se. What's your sort of personal observation about this cave they're in?
Well, I've been in many caves that are very similar to that. Of course, as an experienced caver, we know that if we're going to go into a cave that has even a potential like that, that we do not even think about going in under those conditions. But also, there are some caves that cave explorers who know what they're doing and explore frequently, if they know that there's even a minor possibility that something like that can happen, they have much more preparation before they go in. In this particular case, this is a cave that's open to the public. They do tours to the cave, and the public is encouraged to go and self-explore. And they got unlucky in that the monsoon started earlier than they normally do.
What do you go ahead, Violetta. You had a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, why can't they just zip line the kids? You know, so they have a rope now that's from the starting point to wherever the kids are, correct?
Right.
And why can't they
It's not a rope. It's not like a zip line. It's a dive line, which is basically a string that the divers deploy so that they can find their way through the cave.
No, but hold on. I think Violetta's confused. But I think Violetta's confused because if you think a cave, you think of a large area with a ceiling that you could just zoom along. Violetta, if I follow your question, but the problem here is that it's not like that all the time. Some of it is it goes below the surface. It goes down, and water has filled. Think of a tunnel more that's completely flooded with water.
Right.
Isn't that it, Anmar?
But can't they just drag them out?
Drag them out? Well, they got to breathe.
Tight.
How are they going to breathe?
With an air mask.
So they put the air mask on with the... Right, so they put a mask on, oxygen tank on the back, and we're just going to drag them out. Okay, how about that, Anmar? How about we just... You kids don't need to be able to swim. Just don't take that mask off. Keep breathing, and we'll just drag you through here. What about that?
Well, think about this. They're going through an area that is so tight that some of the original divers going through had to remove their equipment to get through it. If anything happens to the equipment when they're going through there and the mask gets ripped off or the equipment fails, you have about a minute to fix the problem or perish, and you have to know how to be able to fix that problem. They will most likely help aid the kids along through some of the places in there, but there will be places where nobody else can touch them. They have to be able to get themselves through there, and even if they do attach lines to them to help pull them through those areas, you don't know what condition is going on because you can't see them. And so the very act of pulling them through some of those tight places may be
terrifying.
The thing that causes
just
the problem.
Terrifying.
Interesting.
So what about the Elon Musk idea about drilling a hole from the top and going down and getting them?
Well, that's not. I have great respect for Mr. Musk there, but it's not a unique idea to him. It's been used in many other types of rescue in the past. I think most people remember in 2010 the Chilean miners where they bored a hole almost half a mile down in. They had very high accuracy precision surveys of to where they were trying to drill to, and even then they started three simultaneous operations and only had one of them actually get to that point. This is a much smaller place because the gold mine that the miners were in, you could drive trucks through it. You can barely fit people through many of these places in this particular cave, and so you have to be able to know exactly where you're drilling to get to that point. And it's even then, even if you knew all that, even if you had all that, it was still took 2 months for them to drill the hole from the surface to get the miners out. And this is a very similar distance that they'd have to go.
Yeah. Okay, 312-981-7200. You know what I told our audience, Anmar, because I think a lot of us, like Violetta, like me, like Ella, we've all been sitting there going, why don't we try this? What about this? Well, how about if they just do that, for God's sakes? If a diver can get there, if I can see video of these kids now, why can't we get the kids out? And I think these are all very good questions. We've got to kind of learn the situation and what has and hasn't worked in the past. Maybe you've got a suggestion, a comment, a question. That's why we asked Anmar to come on. The phone number is 312-981-7200. John, you're on WGN. Go ahead. Hi, John. Are you there? The question was, at least from a caller who we don't hear from now, he wanted to know, why are those kids in that cave to begin with? I think we all know the answer to that. As you said a moment ago, right? It's open to the public. You're invited. Although that sounds like a bad idea to me. You said that there's guided tours, but you're also invited to just go exploring yourself. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's the case.
And do we have situations like that in this country? Are there caves where you can just go wander around?
There are, and those oftentimes are the places where we tend to have the most rescues.
How about it? This texter said from 847, how long does it take the diver to go from the boys to safety? So if a diver gets there and then goes back, I heard 2 hours. I don't know if that's 2 hours for the diver or that's what they would estimate the trip would be for the boys. I presume it's not 2 hours underwater. What do you know about the journey the kids would have to make?
So for the experienced divers, it's actually about 5 hours out. It's 6 hours in, but they're fighting the current on the way in. On the way out, the current actually moves them along a little faster. So you can use that as a baseline. The thing that you have with the water level is the more they pump the water down, the less diving that they have to do because more places open up. There's more air on the surface as the water level drops. And so the lower the water is, the less the diving is, which is good because if they do have to use that option, then it makes everything easier. Doesn't mean it's safer or it doesn't mean that it's safe, but it is safer than it was. So you could say at a minimum, it would be at least 5 hours, if not more, for each trip out.
How long do you think of that would be underwater?
Not much of it, actually. Right now, my understanding is the level of the water has been pumped low enough that only a small portion of that would be underwater. They still have to swim a fair distance, which, right. you know, and that's a little easier because they can be towed along for some of that. But the other problem they're facing is that these kids face 9 days of starvation, and it takes a long time to even be able to start refeeding them, let alone getting them to the point where their strength is up. So, you know, a lot of them, when they first got found, could barely even stand.
Now, if the rains were to continue to come down now after they were pumping the water out, how long does it take to fill back up? Is that a quick process?
It depends entirely on how much rain they get. But it could easily come back up to where they were when they started pumping within a day or so.
Is there a concern that the chamber the kids are in would completely fill with water?
That's a very strong concern, and that's one of the reasons the diving option is being explored, because if they decide that that may be the case, then the only other alternative is the kids will drown. So you take the risky option, but that's better than the certain death option.
Steve, on line two, you're on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, King John. One thing that I was thinking about is, what about a positive pressure? Now, I know they can't GPS exactly where these kids are at, but if they could sink a 4 to 6 inch line, hook up a compressor, and keep like a positive pressure, kind of like a submarine would have, just to at least keep the water out.
Yeah, I see
where they're at.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Is that a plausible option in your estimation, Anmar?
Not really. In a mine, like they did in the Sago mine disaster, that is a plausible option because the mines tend to be more sealed. Caves have natural openings and crevices all over the place, and that's one of the reasons that the air in caves generally tends to be a lot better than the air in a mine, is because there's a natural airflow. And even if there's not enough airflow to support, continued existence breathing for long periods of time, it's enough that pretty much as soon as you start pumping air into it, it's just escaping elsewhere. Further, in order to pump the air down far enough to have any significant benefit, the amount of pressure that they put in there, the big issue they had with the Sago mine, or it might have been the Cue Creek mine, I'm getting them mixed up, was that they actually had to put an airlock at the entrance of the cave, and the kids or the miners, they were fearing that they'd end up having decompression sickness if they brought them out too quickly. So there's all sorts of issues with that, aside from the fact that you simply cannot do it.
Yeah, right. The air would escape. All right. Anmar Mirzaei is the National Coordinator for the National Cave Rescue Commission. Today's Friday. Hopefully we'll have a more positive spin to this conversation, maybe next week. I'll ask you to join us again down the road. Thanks for your time this afternoon, Anmar.
You're welcome.
All right, that's the latest on that. What a story. What can you imagine? 11-year-old boy doesn't know how to swim, told to put a mask on and an oxygen tank and submerge himself into the darkness and squeeze through passages that he can't see, following a rope. Unbelievable. Good luck to all of them, huh?